مارك السهابة The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected honorable listeners of مارك السهابة The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة, we welcome you to this segment. It is our interview segment of our spiritual breakfast. The date today is the 13th of Dhul Qa'dah 1445, and it is corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 22nd of May 2024. Other areas of the world, it is the 14th of Dhul Qa'dah 1445. Makkah Mukarramah, Saudi Arabia, all Masjid al-Aqsa as well, Palestine, it is the 14th of Dhul Qa'dah. Let's welcome our guest, and that is Haji Fahim Dosani. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan for joining us, Haji Fahim Dosani. How's everything, the weather there in Kenya?
Alhamdulillah, Mawlana Sahib. Everything is fine. May the grace of Allah Ta'ala. It's clear blue skies in Kenya. Sun is out shining, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. And with regards to the flooding, has that, I know last week you told us it's paused. We hope that it doesn't pour, but is it still the same now? Is more rain come down?
It's been raining within the week, from Asar onwards up to about Isha. But not extreme heavy rainfall. It's normal rainfall. Alhamdulillah, no flooding cause, just basically within the streets and all. Impossible for some cars, but otherwise no extreme damage or no floods, alhamdulillah.
We must make shukr hadha min fadli rabbi, but this is the virtue and the kindness of Allah Azza wa Jal. But we always think that how does a nation, especially a country, if you take Turkey with the earthquake recently, take Afghanistan till now, the floods are continuing. Brazil also, the floods are continuing. This, how does a country come together again to fix up what all the damages Afghanistan? I've seen how many cattle, thousands of cattle, underwater, houses, flats. But then afterwards to recover, how much of effort it must be. So that's due to natural disasters. And I'm sure currently now, Haji Fahim, you are seeing that how people are struggling, and slowly, slowly, they will come together, inshallah. What do you see, what do you witness amongst the people, the difficulties that they are facing currently?
Definitely extremely difficult to recover from such situations. We who are living, let's say, middle class income, we really don't really feel the effect of what the people below us are feeling. Very difficult for them to recover. They've got no money to buy themselves even the basic needs. They've got to rebuild their own houses with iron sheets. They've got to buy everything from scratch. Speaking to another man just recently, last week, he was telling me how the flood reached his house in the slum area up to his neck. And he had his children with him, and how they had to scramble. You know, his entire house got destroyed. So I was just imagining
up until his neck.
Where this man got to start from, up until his neck. I asked him, why do you have to wait for the water to reach up to your neck to leave such a place? You think for him, when you hear it from the outside, it's something else. And when you experience it, it's something else. You think when the floods come, it causes total confusion to us. We've got our children, we've got our wives, we've got our material items within the house. We don't know what to do. By the time you realize you're making a decision and the water's coming up to your neck, you've got to scramble, you've got to make the move. This explaining how difficult it is to start life again, all the way from scratch for the less fortunate.
So was his family got saved, his children, everyone got saved?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, he got saved in the nick of time, alhamdulillah.
So how did he get out of that situation? Was it rescue boats or something?
Well, I think there were people, rescue teams on site to help people come out of their homes and, you know, just sort things out. So there have been rescue teams on ground from the side of the government and also well-wishers.
Because I'm just trying to picture if it's reaching my neck, then what about those who are younger than us or children? They will, of course, the water will finish them off.
Exactly. So
how do they?
Exactly. See, so that's what I'm saying. A lot of people lost their lives. A lot of children lost their lives. It is a really sad situation. We're just hearing on the news, and we're just hearing from sources. But actually, to experience these things is something else. When you go on ground and see, it's a different thing. That's what we must all do. We must take out some time and go on ground and see what's going on, and what halat and conditions people are living in, what halat and conditions people are going through. They're less fortunate. You know. There's one thing we must do as Muslims. Inshallah.
Has the number increased with regards to the death toll?
No, the number has not increased because the floods did stop.
Gee.
They claim there were some missing bodies. So probably from the missing bodies, probably about 100 missing people. So probably the death toll could have risen by just about 100 if they didn't find the missing bodies.
Okay, coming to continuing from our discussion last week as well, and I don't want last week, Marv, we deprived you from saying what you wanted to say because of time, of course. But this week, we're going to give you that full time, inshallah. I believe when you came here to South Africa, you've experienced the company of the seniors. And what was that? What can you share with us?
Oh, gee, Malana Sahib. I'll just share the little I have, inshallah. I came to South Africa. Alhamdulillah, it was very nice. I kept hearing about South Africa for quite a long time since I was a teenager.
Was this the first time you came? Room.
It was my first time in South Africa, alhamdulillah. So, kept hearing about South Africa since I was a teenager, the high levels of Islam in South Africa. I kept hearing about different Darul Ulooms, different seniors. We kept hearing audios of our career on WhatsApp, and you know, some desire came into our hearts to visit South Africa, and you know, visit the Mashayikh, visit the different Darul Ulooms. Alhamdulillah, we made niyat, and Alhamdulillah, brought me to South Africa. I was able to visit the different Darul Ulooms. The ones I visited were Darul Ulum Zadhil, by Mullah Abdul Hamid Sahib, Damat Barakatum. Then we visited Darul Ulum Sipingo by Mufti Ibrahim Saleri Sahib, Damat Barakatum. We visited one of the Dawood Siddiq's madrasa as well. Then we visited Mullah Shabir Saladi as well, Darul Ulum Zakaria. So, mashallah, it's an extremely great platform South Africa has. In terms of the infrastructure, we also attended the Ijtima. So in terms of the infrastructure, subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala has blessed South Africa in that way, from Maktab level all the way up to the Darul Ulum, and then, of course, with the seniors as well. So this is one thing I got to see. That I met the seniors and I sat at their feet. And subhanAllah, what an ajeeb feeling one gets when he's at the feet of his seniors, sitting by Mullah Abdul Hamid Sahib and all. SubhanAllah, I can't explain the feeling that I had in my heart. I can't explain much further how South Africa is blessed to have seniors in front of them. at all times and always accessible. That's the greatest thing. I saw with a caveat that they're so easily accessible. Anyone who wants to visit our qadi, wants to sit at their feet, like much formalities, just got to inform that you're coming, and you know, they're available for us all the time. We're always ready to impart with us so much. So it was a great trip, Malana.
In English, there's a saying, familiarity creates contempt. So familiarity creates contempt. So when you have this bounty, take iman for me, for example, because I've got it, had it, born with it, we just sort of, Allah forgive us, we just take it for granted. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Adiyat, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودُ. Insan is ever ungrateful to his sustainer. So, like this, when I just see in South Africa, just yesterday I was telling one of the students that if you just take our area, our sections where we're living in, and if you see how many of us actually appreciate our deen, including myself, including all of us, how many of us actually take it and making that active effort to say that, you know what, I've got this opportunity today, not tomorrow, 13th Dhul Qadah, today. I can make this change in my life, I can do something, I can, but we're just not interested. We're just walking about like we don't care. We've made everything else the objective. But the true objective why we've come to this world, that we've totally become oblivious of. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in Surah Al-Hashr that وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Do not become like those who have forgotten Allah. So Allah has made them forget themselves. People ask, but how do you forget Allah? I mean, how does Allah make you forget yourself? So, it's simple. You just forget the fact that harm is going to come to me in the form of punishment if I do not abide by the laws of Sharia. Allah's mercy is there, and we hope for Allah's mercy. But to take advantage of Allah's mercy, this is foolishness, as Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَالْعَاجِزُ مَنْ أَتْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ. He follows his nafs, and he follows his desires. After he says, and he places his hopes in Allah, he says, like how we say, Allah is غفور الرحيم. So actually you're making a mockery of Allah. Because we're committing such crimes, and then you say, Allah is غفور, Allah is Rahim. So I was just asking this youngster, how many homes do you think, as we're driving now, do you see people are actually making an active effort to come to the masjid early, to come to sit, to enjoy this what we have? So one is when the masjids were closed. The masjids are open now. Everything is there. But are we really taking benefit? Like you've mentioned, our seniors are here. Are we going to sit at their feet, like really sitting at their feet to say that, you know what, tomorrow they may not be here. And only because of, to gain knowledge from them. To gain, and as you've mentioned such, just last night we were there by our Honorable Ustad, and that is Mufti Ridaul Haq Sahab, Damat Barakatuhu. We had to ask a few questions. So, these giants are here, but you came all the way from Kenya. That's the message I want to give to our South Africans. You're someone who came from all the way from Kenya to sit in the company of our seniors and has gone back with something. We are here, and it just takes maybe a 30-kilometer drive, sometimes 40 kilometers. In Durban, you've got Mufti Ibrahim Salaji. In Johannesburg, you've got, but even if it means Haji Fahim Dosani, one of our seniors told me, did you go to PE to meet my AS Desai Sahab, Damat Barakatuhu? I said, no, they asked me, so when I answered, I said, no, I didn't get a chance. They said, they were like shocked, you didn't go. And if you see in Surah Al-Kahf, Musa alayhi salam was instructed to go to meet with Khidr alayhi salam. He wanted to meet someone who's more knowledgeable than him. And in search, that whole journey was in search of going to meet someone who's got knowledge that Musa alayhi salam doesn't have. So you can just imagine that we've lost that true thirst for knowledge. We've lost that true thirst for deen. And slowly, that's right. Why I'm saying to you, as you've mentioned so nicely, that the seniors are here. But sometimes when we don't appreciate something, appreciating the seniors is because of deen. We must put that into perspective as well. Because they're giving off deen.
Right.
But once we don't have that appreciation, Allah Azza wa Jal takes it away. Allah forbid, this is maybe, we hope it's not, but the decline, as we've seen Spain, Egypt, so many countries, when people just been there, I think I mentioned it last week also, my parents went to Egypt. I asked them what, they said, there's hardly any signs of Islam. You have to create that sign. You have to say that, okay, I'm a Muslim. You have to say, keep on reminding yourself. So, inshallah, we hope that you've given us an indirect reminder here to say that we've got everything here. We must hold on to it.
Mawlana, it just comes to mind also. One incident just comes to mind. Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh. And Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh was at the tender age of about 10 years. Then he became very to Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh. So, just saying that what love he had for his seniors and what love he had for his sheikh. Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh was always in the companionship of Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saran Rahmatullah Alayh. Always in the companionship of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Alayh, Mawlana Shah Abdul Rahim Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayh as well. And you guess, when I was just reading last week, it shows how much azmat he had for his seniors in his life. That everything he did was based on making mashwara with the seniors. He always turned to the seniors. This one incident comes. It was once when Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh wanted to go for Hajj. And, he heard about his sheikh going for Hajj. Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saran, Saharanpuri Rahmatullah Alayh. So he heard about his sheikh going for Hajj in about, I think, 1905. So he started having a feeling inside his heart that if my sheikh leaves India, if my senior leaves India, then India will be overcome in total darkness. This is what he actually felt. That India will be overcome with total darkness. So I must not be in India. I must go with my sheikh because I don't want to feel that darkness. Look at the thoughts he had for his senior. Look at the thoughts he had for his sheikh. And it's the same thing. Like the question you must ask yourselves: do you feel the same in your heart? The observation is that today they are around, tomorrow they might not be there. Do we really feel the way Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh felt? That today is that area of South Africa no longer going to be there. I mean, what is going to happen to us? I'm talking about us. I'm talking about people in Kenya now. we tend to our ulama in South Africa when we have issues over here. We make mashara with them. And I'm just thinking, if they had to leave this world, what's going to happen to us? So, in the incident, he really wanted to go with his sheikh for Hajj because he said total darkness will overcome India. So he had all the means to go for Hajj. So one of the offers he was given was by his sister, because he didn't have the money to go for Hajj. So his sister offered him ornaments. He said, you may take these ornaments and you may sell them, and whatever money you get from it, you may go for Hajj with it. The people also offered him hadiah as well, money as hadiah. The third option he had was for a loan as well. People were ready to loan him some money so that he could go for Hajj with his sheikh. We found different ways to go for Hajj. But despite all these options in front of him, he said that I must make mashwara with my sheikh. So this is the thing. Despite his extreme high levels of iman and piety, he never had something what we call self-reliance in him. He never had self-reliance. I mean, he always felt that everything that I must do, every part of my life, I must always consult my seniors. You know, so this is one great quality we learn from Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh. at every point, you know, he always turned to his seniors at every stage. Even when his brother passed away, Nizamuddin of Patrali, there was a position or a vacancy position for him to go teach at the Darul Uloom in Nizamuddin. So people went and asked Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saranpuri on his behalf. You know, they went and asked on his behalf, but he's been Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, he's come and filled the position at Nizamuddin. So Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali got very upset. He said, this is not how you must ask your seniors. So Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali went personally to his senior, the sheikh, and he asked him, Maulana Dwahi Ijazat to go teach. It was only when he got Ijazat to go teach and the consent of his seniors, that's when he left to go. So this is what I'm trying to say, is that at every point, you must always turn to our seniors. In it, there is a lot of hair. In it, there is a lot of barakat. You know, it's one person once said, when you are under the guidance of the seniors, then you will be molded with the gentle hands of love. You will be baked and strengthened in the oven of truthfulness and adorned with the ink of gratitude until no power in the world can break you. One of us must always come to appreciate our seniors. South Africa is at that stage where we have seniors all over. My plea to the South Africans is take advantage, take full advantage. Today you have your seniors, tomorrow it will not happen. I live in a country. We don't have this.
I mean, a strong emotional message from Haji Fahim Sap, for all of us to take benefit from. And we see one of the reasons why also is just a logical understanding of what Haji Fahim, I'm just speaking to the listeners, a logical reason. Why? Are we just screaming because seniors, seniors, seniors? No, there's a reason why. See, the seniors, they do not worry about what's the feelings of this one. Their ultimate goal in life is to raise the kalima la ilaha illallah. They are not worried about governments. They are not worried about presidents. They are not worried about America. They are not worried about absolutely no one. But what does Allah Azza wa Jal expect from us? And they understand well the reality. When Allah's commands are not fulfilled, when the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ignored, punishments come upon those areas. So, to remedy all of this, they play an important role. And that they play the role of Amar bil Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar. Amar bil Ma'ruf, instructing towards good, Nahi anil Munkar, preventing the evil. They're not worried about what is this person going to say? What is that one? What is the sponsor is going to say? They are worried about Allah Azza wa Jal. If Allah's command is not being promoted, then what's going to happen? And it just makes sense. People ask Haji Fahim, why do the birds make dua? Why do the fish in the sea make dua? What interest is it? So from a point of interest, it is because when the punishment comes, then they are also at risk. So they also want people who are pious, because then conditions becomes better. And if I'm not going to remind the neck, you don't have to be an alim to say that, you know what, this is right, this is wrong. Alims, they will stipulate the Sharia, the muftis, and then for you to prevent evil, to say that, you know what, stop this evil, stop this. We have to carry out this role. Because you become then, you're assisting Allah Azza wa Jal's deen, a helper for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's much to be said also, but this is the crux of it. Haji Fahim, I'm happy you've joined us. You've shared with us some emotional moments. Please make dua for us. And when you come again, please let us know also, inshallah. I'm sure now there will be a few trips coming to South Africa.
Inshallah. Jee Malana, inshallah, most definitely. Near is to come as often as possible. So Allah Ta'ala meets the means, inshallah. I already got a taste of it, so definitely got to come back for the honey. So inshallah, make dua for our country as well. Allah Ta'ala open for us Makatid in our country. Allah Ta'ala open for us Ahle Sunnah Wal Jamaah Masjid in our country. Allah Ta'ala open for us Abu Darul Umm in our country. Request all listeners to also make dua for our country, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. And you also make dua for us, and so that we can maintain what we have and not take advantage of it, so that we can also continue to benefit from all of this. Inshallah, we'll have you again, inshallah, soon when Haji Fahim is ready again. We enjoyed the talks, especially with regards to the Kabirin. When you're speaking about the Hajj and how a thought came to mind of Mulana Yunus Patel, rahmatullah alayhi, who's just passed away in 2011. And when he went for Hajj upon occasion, he said to his family, that to his ahliya, he said, we're going for Hajj, but there's a condition. We have to go for Hajj with our own money. So they ended up selling most of the items in their home. And with that, they went for Hajj. And they came back, and then the person who bought it said, we still have it. If you want to purchase it back, you can purchase it. And slowly, slowly. So what didn't our seniors do just for the commands of Allah Azawajal to be fulfilled? And me, myself, I speak to myself firstly. How much am I willing to give up? Jazakumullah khairan, Haji Fahim. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.